Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening and open up to 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. How many have that as a testimony tonight? Would you say amen? Now, come on, church. I know it's Wednesday night. I'm not sure who in the world chose 7 o'clock on a Wednesday evening to have church, but it was definitely some farmer a long time ago, and we just carried that out because, it's tough to get here. We've had a long day, and there is no doubt getting 5 kids ready for church, not that I did it, Carrie did it, but getting 5 kids ready for church after a long day can be tiring. And some of you cannot drink coffee at night because it keeps you up all night. And so right now you're a little bit tired. But I want you to think about something that really thrills your soul. College football coming on, maybe a great gift from your husband, maybe a new purse, new jewelry. For me, Christmas. I love Christmas. I love fall time. Carrie bought a little candle the other day and I went up and smelt it. I can't think of the, I think it was French toast or, no, it was something with autumn. I can't think of it right now. You ladies are probably thinking of it just like that. But I'm telling you what, it reminded me of the fall. Smelled so good, thrilled my soul. Can't wait for the leaves to fall. I don't have any trees in my yard, so I don't have to worry about, you know, raking them. For some of you, you're in a panic right now. But nonetheless, there's a lot of things that thrills our soul. But what about Jesus? Does he thrill our soul? Amen. He ought to. I know a song was written in the 1930s, and sometimes we get on Wednesday night, it's a little bit slower. But if you read those words tonight, it really is amazing that no matter what we go through, Pastor Chris, you said it there in Matthew. I mean, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, not the rest tonight, go to sleep for the next 40 minutes. I'm talking about rest from a busy, crazy, upside-down world. If you believe that Jesus can give us rest, say amen tonight. Now, let's wake up in the Word of God. Let's be awake tonight in Him. Let's give Him praise this evening. I know it's been some time. You opened up here to 1 Thessalonians, and it has been some time since we have been here. I was looking back through my notes, and we're going to give a little bit of a review tonight just because we came through all of July, and I do appreciate our missionaries that we're in and getting updates from missionaries. Just what an incredible job they did. But now we're going to dive back into this series and give a little bit of a review, but I am excited to preach this message tonight, and we're going to be looking at, once again, the example church. This is an in-depth study of 1 Thessalonians that we're going to be in on Wednesday nights for some time. And for some of you, we do have visitors here tonight. We welcome you to the services. For some of you, it's been a little while, maybe not feeling well or on vacation. Good to have you back tonight. For those of you who are watching via live stream this evening, will you do welcome you here to the services? I do. Let me say this, because here's what's going to happen. I got to slow down. My lungs aren't keeping up. Now listen, here's what's going to happen. Inevitably, Pastor Fo, I'm going to get an email that's going to say, why are you complaining about the times on, are we getting rid of Wednesday night? Now. I love Wednesday nights. I really do. Not super huge on raising kids and getting a back dress to go to church at 7 o'clock, but that's just the flesh. Now listen, I love diving into God's Word and learning about Him. And we get to, on Wednesday nights, I know it's not popular, and there's a lot of other churches around here, you've let me know, that don't have Wednesday night services, but I'm not ready to get rid of it. I kind of like it. I think it's great to dive in the Word of God and learn about Him. Our kids get to be up there, and they all run around a gym, and they'll sleep well tonight, but they're learning about Jesus. And we get to open up His Word, and we get to look at expository messages moving verse by verse through these passages. And it is amazing what God begins to bring out and open up. How many believe the Word of God is alive? Would you say amen? It's alive. It's old. And some people say it's archaic, it's outdated. Oh, no, friend. It is very much alive and breathing and talks to us tonight. And we're going to dive into 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And let's look at verse number 3 tonight. Verse number 3, we're looking at the example church, remember now. We're going to look at verse number 3. Look what it says. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Look at verse number 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, as But the gear just prayed, Lord, there's a lot of names on this list. On a Wednesday night, Father, it's hard to get through every one, but Lord, they're on our minds and our hearts throughout the week, and help us to take serious the email that goes out by Miss Nicole, or Father, taking the prayer list off the back table on the right-hand side as we leave, and Lord, may we circle, highlight, and then, Lord, help us to check off, put a big star beside, and praise you when you answer our prayers. God, you've worked a miracle. There is no doubt, last week at this very time, it did not look good for our brother in Christ that Jeremy was going to be alive, and yet we are 7 days into this thing later. Lord, we'd be foolish not to stop and give you praise. Many are feeling better tonight. God, we've come through now a week and a half of school, parking lots looking great. God, there's a lot to praise you for this evening. So, Lord, help us to be awake and praise you. Lord, continue to bless us. Father, I'm just going to take a moment and just pray, Lord, that you'd give me the strength. It's going to be a test of my lungs tonight to get through what I want to, but God, you're good. I'm not complaining. Lord, you got this. This is your word. I'm just going to deliver the mail tonight. And Lord, help us when we walk out those back doors, side doors, whatever exit we use, help us to grow. Help us to be more like you. Father, whatever attitude that was sour that we brought in, God, help us just to say, Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. The sin that we brought in here that's unconfessed, God, convict us tonight, and may we confess it. Father, I ask, Lord, that tonight, whether watching live stream on a couch somewhere or, Father, right here as a local church, may we just dive in and love your word. Father, we love you. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at this book of 1 Thessalonians, remember now, the author is the Apostle Paul. We get much of this background as we saw early on. Now, it's been a while, but early on in June, that most of the background that we see through this book, you can go back and read and begin to once again fill in those blanks from Acts chapter number 17. This is written to the church of the Thessalonians. We see that in verse number 1 here. The purpose of this letter that Paul and others are writing was to encourage the church, now listen very carefully, to stand fast against persecution. We, you and I, would do well to remember this, that the culture and the world that we live in, even here in the United States, the culture of today is not for us. They're not rooting for the local church. They're not rooting for Baptist doctrine. They don't love Christianity. In fact, there is a great number of those in our country that actually hate you and I. They despise you and I gathering together. They do not like the fact that you and I bring our children in and they hear of the love of Jesus and the kindness of Jesus and the salvation that he brings. They don't like that you and I have standards that are based on principles that are based upon the Word of God. In fact, they very much dislike it. And you and I do believe in our day are going to see some persecution. We've already begun to see it, and we're going to see more and more. You say, man, that's depressing, that's down. No, you and I really ought to rejoice in the fact. I know it's tough and it's hard, and we've shed many tears over the last several days of the disaster and what's taken place in Afghanistan. And I just want to encourage us as a congregation to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ that will be facing, many of them beheading, many of them will be tortured for their beliefs, many of them over the last 20 years of a presence of the United States military have really been able to share their faith and grow their faith, and many of them will now die because of their faith. And when you and I begin to complain over the little petty things of this world and the little petty things of this life, whether it be traffic or whether it be someone took our seat or we don't like this or that, it do us well to remember those that are across the pond that are dying for their faith this evening. But instead of getting down and out about it, let's remember that you and I have a book of the Bible that is called Revelation. It is called Revelation. It is revealing revealing to man God's plan. And God's plan has already been written out. You and I know the end. We know what's taking place. And the awesome thing, while every news media out there is in an absolute panic at what's taking place, as Christians, we ought to rejoice because we already knew this was going to happen. We know the Taliban does not like Christians. We know the Taliban absolutely hates Israel. We know that the gathering countries in the East and the West and the North and the South are going to be gathering themselves together and looking at just this one little strip of land that God has given to His chosen people. And we understand that they hate the Jews and that it's going to be gathering together. And instead of being in a panic, instead of being all worried and concerned, you and I understand this, that persecution is coming. But friend, so is Jesus Christ. Amen. And His warning here, His encouragement is, look, persecution is going to come. So He begins to encourage them through this letter. He commands their strong faith of love and hope. We're going to see that here in just a moment in verse number 3. But you and I got to remember that this is still our job today. As Christians, we ought to have faith and love and courage in a very dark world. Not only that, He encourages them and begins to tell them about some malicious charges that has come up against him. We'll see this in chapter number 2 when Paul delves into defending himself and his faith. And you and I are going to make application that even in this world, there are those that can be mean. There are those that can absolutely wave their banner high of their standard or what they want and condemn others because it does not align with their preference. Or there even in Christianity can be those that will try to bully or push their way. And even our local churches across this land, we see those that can absolutely sow discord amongst the brethren. They can lie and be mean, malicious. So He encourages them to stand fast against persecution, but also to live holy lives. In chapter number 3, and let me take a deep breath. In chapter number 3 and verse number 1 through chapter number 4 and verse number 12, He's going to encourage them to live holy lives. And I love where the Word of God tells us to be holy as I am holy. It's not holy based on religion. It's not holy based on standards. It's not holy based on what the Shepherd family says. It's not holy based on what they did in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Excuse me, friend. It's holiness based upon what thus saith the Lord and an inspired, inerrant, perfect Word of God that is preserved for you and I today. You and I must use this as a foundation to live a holy life in 2021. But then also He reinforces the great hope of the Lord's return and the resurrection that has already passed and that God is once again going to come for His bride. We're going to see this in chapter number 4 in great detail. Remember now this letter that He's writing to this city here, this church that has been founded, these people. This was a great city that was the capital of the largest city here of this time in Macedonia. In fact, we understand from historians that it had been founded by Cassander. This was the top military officer of Alexander the Great. After Alexander has now passed away, Cassander comes in and founds this incredible city that at its height, we understand that it was around 200,000 people that dwelled there. It wasn't very small. It was actually quite large. The church of Thessalonica, because of its strategic location and because of the center where it was at and because its commerce and importance, the gospel here begins to spread very, very rapidly. As we think about this city, as we think about this church, I just cannot help but think about Indianapolis. It really is the center. It really is amazing the amount of growth that we're seeing here. I've said in the last 8 months, it's even at where our house was. Many of you were there when we moved in. Man, our house, we're the first one. Well, there goes a wasp. There was the first one. Sorry about that. It really was. Though. I'm going to come down here a little bit before I get stung. You know what I'm saying? In fact, most of our people are back here anyways. Man, I just ought to preach back here. Nonetheless, I think about Indianapolis and Avon, this surrounding area, this way it's growing. It's unbelievable. Houses going up all over the place. I said about a month or two ago, I'm not here to battle you on your preference, whether, look at everybody looking at this wasp. Watch this. I'm going to kill it here in a minute. You're going to see some nunchucks go off. Get it, Brother Mike. Judy, run after that thing, will you? Understand that nonetheless, as it's growing, I'm not here for preference and, well, our roads are not well, are ready for it and this. And as Christians, that ought not to be our main concern. We are a gospel-centered church. And every one of those homes has a family in it. And every one of those families need Jesus Christ. They need a Savior. If you agree with that tonight, say amen. Don't lose me here because of a stinking wasp. And it's just like Satan to get in here and just to get us all confounded and crazy. I think I'm safe, Pastor Chris, to go back up here nonetheless. But understand, as I look at Indianapolis and this surrounding area, it is our job to get the gospel out. God is bringing people here. In fact, this is a true story. As of today, in the last week, from last Wednesday to today, I have received four phone calls and or emails of people from other states that are wanting to move to Indianapolis and to get their family here in the ministry of Cross Point Baptist Church. I'm excited about that. Say amen. What is God doing? He's bringing people here. We are a church. We're a local church. We are the body of Christ. Our main concern is to reach these people. So Paul begins to write about this example church, and he begins to show us why they are an example church. Number one this evening, if you're taking notes, they were a strong church. Number one, they were a strong church. As we see here in verse number one, the Bible says this. Look at verse number one. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. There was a strong church because of their faithful ministers. Because of their faithful ministers. You see, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, they had really invested in this church. But then also we see because of faithful members. Look at verse number one. Unto the church of the Thessalonians. Paul did not address the letter to the church at Thessalonica, but to the church of the Thessalonians. Hey, why is that of importance? It's because you and I got to comprehend tonight that you and I are the church. Remember, this is a place where we meet. But I've said it before that if something were to happen and this building was condemned, it doesn't mean that Cross Point Baptist Church ends and that's it. No, you and I are part of the body of Christ. We are the church. If we were out in that field, then Cross Point Baptist Church, the local church, we'd be meeting out. The body of Christ would be meeting out in that field or in a park. Remember now, I know we want to take care of this place. And man, we got great plans. I explained all that last Wednesday of updates and painting and everything that we're doing. Well, I guess it's going to be incredible. But friend, you got to remember that Paul is writing not to a church building and not to a property, but he is writing to the church. But it's also not because of faithful members. It's a strong church because, thirdly, it's founded in God. Look at verse number one. It says this, which is in God, the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember now, this is the distinctive belief upon which the church is built. If you agree with this next statement, I don't care if you're a man or woman, I want you to say amen tonight. If you believe this, say amen. Now listen, we believe that God the Father sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to save us from perishing and give us eternal life. You believe that? Say amen. That's what we're founded on. You see, we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Messiah and Savior who has been promised from the very beginning of history. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 6 says it this way, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. It's a strong church because it was founded in God, but it's also founded with gifts. Look at this verse. It says here in verse number one, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's founded in gifts, grace, and peace. Grace means the undeserved favor and blessings of God. note the exact wording of this verse says this: grace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. If grace means undeserved favor and blessings of God, then this is God's blessing upon His people, His church, this church. I am thankful this evening. Now listen, I know we went through a prayer list and we could go on and on, but I have to stop at times. It's just who I am. I try to be positive. But at times I have to stop and just give Him praise for the grace that He has bestowed upon our lives. Amen? What a God we serve. I mean, how good. I mean, He is just, what an incredible God. Man, look, I look at the last 8 months of being here at Cross Point Baptist Church, and I look at the families that have come in and what God's done, and even our school enrollment going up, and the updates, I mean, the parking lot, these deacons, praise the Lord for them, and all the work that went into that. And then, man, very soon our foyer is going to look different. It's going to be great for our visitors, and painting and updating and doing this and that. And I look around at what God's doing and the baptisms that we've seen and the people who have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm just telling you, we start looking at the grace of God. We don't deserve it, but isn't He a good God? My goodness, He's good. Wow, this church is founded with gifts. That grace is something that you and I often ought to think about in our own personal lives, that how good God is, founded with gifts, that grace. But also here, look what it says: grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That peace is there. Peace in our English language means to bound, to be joined, woven together. It means to be assured. Listen to the wording here: confident and secure in the love and care of God. That peace, it means it's that you and I, watch now, as the body of Christ, we have that sense and know that God will guide us and that God is going to provide and strengthen and sustain and deliver and encourage and empower and bless us. The point is this, watch now. A strong church is a body of people who know and they experience the peace of God as they walk throughout the world day by day. John chapter 14 and verse number 27. Listen to it very carefully. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Listen. You got to catch this. You see, we tune out because we know this verse. We memorized it from Awana years ago. But you got to tune in and catch it. Peace I leave. It's a gift. I give it to you. It's yours, church. Excuse me, mom. It's yours. Excuse me, dad, husband, wife, grandma, grandpa. Listen, I give you this peace. My peace I give unto you. Here's what he said. Listen now. Not as the world giveth. Aren't you thankful for that? Say amen. How many times have we been promised something that we don't get? I mean, there is not a president in history that has not promised something that they did not give. I don't care, Democrat, Republican, I don't care who you are. Are we not always promised, boy, you elect me, I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you this, and boy, you're going to have this. We get 3.5 years in, we're like, man, they just promised such a bunch of stuff that never came to fruition. Now, some of you get frowns on your faces, and this is not for politics, and well, I'm just saying, we've been promised a lot of peace before, have we not? I mean, we could talk about a lot of things over the last year and a half that started around March of 2020. We won't mention its name tonight, but we've been promised a lot of things from a lot of people. You do this, you do this, you do this, you'll be fine, you're going to be okay, you do this. And we've done all those things, and guess what? Not a lot of peace. We're promised a lot of world peace. We're promised here recently that if we pulled out of a foreign country, it's going to be okay, no problem. Listen, people are people. But what I love about this passage of Scripture is God saying, look, I'm going to give you peace. And then everybody's saying, oh, yeah, we've heard this before. But He knew we were going to live in 2021. He said, look, not as the world giveth you, give I unto you. Now, listen to what it says. Let not your heart be troubled. Church, excuse me, let not your heart be troubled. Now, listen to the wording here. Neither let it be afraid. Now I'm going to jump on a hobby horse, and then we're just going to move on. In 2021, here's what everybody wants us to do. They want us to be afraid.
They want us to fear. The media is not there to lift you up and rainbows and butterflies and everything's good, great, we're going to be fine. And boy, I'm just, if you tell me a news channel that has that and I will tune in because it's not out there. It's not out there. Everything we hear is fear, 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 fear. Now listen very carefully. Everybody tune in, including all those that are watching live stream tonight. This is not a political speech. This is not saying, oh, pastor is saying, you know, we shouldn't and we shouldn't. It is none of my business what you and your family does for health. Neither is it any of your business what me and my family do for our health. Well, I got two amens over here. I appreciate that, sister. We agree together. Amen, Miss Hildebrand. I knew you and I were brother and sisters. Nonetheless, listen. It's not for me to say. You do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Okay? But I'll tell you this. What we have done as a Christian nation is swallowed hook, line, and sinker. I don't care where you're at on this issue. Fear. Be scared. Yeah, pastor, you tell them, all those watching live stream, they ought to be here tonight. No, it's none of my business. They want to be home. They need to quarantine. They need to be there. Health reasons, that's not it for me. Thank the Lord they're on live stream tonight. Amen. If you're watching live stream, praise the Lord. Keep tuning in. Drink some coffee for me. But hurry up and get back because we miss you. We miss you. The world wants to sell us fear, not just with a virus. They want to sell us fear, and you got to do this. You better do this. You better buy into this. Just fear, 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 fear. The sad thing about today is this, Pastor Chris, is that a church, what we have done and what we've seen over the last 2 years, is that now the local church is experiencing for the first time ever, you and I sitting back, and boy, I'm telling you, bring it on. Yeah, I'm telling you, we're ready for it. We'll take on anything. Charge the gates of hell. What we've seen in the last 2 years is, really has separated those who are serious about living for God and those who are serious about living for themselves, because we have now swallowed this pill that we are just to hunker down and we're to live for ourselves and we're not. No, friend, listen. Be careful, absolutely. Take care of ourselves, like, yes, without a doubt. But friend, life is too short to live like a bunch of Amish people out in the field for ourselves. No, the command that you and I have been given is the Great Commission. And people are dying and people are going to hell. In the meantime, we're hunkered down in front of Fox News and CNN and we're scared of the world. And Jesus said, listen, I have given you peace, not as CNN, not as Fox News give I you peace, but I'm giving you real peace that you don't have to live your life in fear and scared and being afraid of everything that comes along. Friend, death should not scare you and I. Why? Because we know what's coming after that. We know what's coming. Whew, I actually got a little bit dizzy. I'm so sorry. But it was pretty good, wasn't it, Pastor Chris? I mean, if I was sitting here, I'd be amening. Give me just a second. Oh, man. Pastor Foe, I'm so close. Oh, okay. Man, it was good. I'm just telling you that. It was really good. Let me hold on to the pulpit here for just a moment. Okay, so look. Not only that, it's founded in prayer. Would you write that down? It's a strong church. Because it's founded in prayer. Look at verse number 2. We give thanks to God always for you, for making mention of you in our prayers. See, a strong church stirs up prayer. Last week we stopped and we just prayed. God's ordained prayer to be a medium through which He talks to us and He blesses us and He forgives us. Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 22 says, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, listen, church, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. See, prayer requires our presence and sharing and talking. And God wants fellowship and communion with us. And few people understand this. Listen, Crosspoint. Few people get this fact, but there really are few Christians sitting in the pews today that really take prayer seriously. We take prayer seriously when we need it. We take prayer seriously when we lost our keys or wallet or somebody we know gets cancer. But, you know, prayer is not just, Lord, be my genie in a bottle. It's a relationship. It's communication with God. But would you write this down, letter F? It's a freedom to serve. Look at verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Oh, man, look at this. And labor of love. And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father. You see, a strong church is a church that is stirred to love, stirred to serve. You see, there's three things that excite a church to want to serve Him. It's first of all this faith. Look what it says here, verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, I mean truly believes, that person is stirred to serve Jesus. The same is true with the body of believers, the local church. John said it this way, listen very carefully. What did the prophet, I love that wording there, prophet, is it good? What did the prophet, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute from daily food, and one of you say to them, well, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things that are needful to the body, what did the prophet, what's it going to do for them? Listen to it carefully. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. You see, faith pushes, it moves you and I to want to serve our Savior. It's not faith, watch out. It's not you and I working for our salvation. It's not you and I serving for our salvation. It's not so we get to heaven and God says, well, okay, your works outweighed, you're bad, and you were there, and you were in church, and you didn't miss a whole lot, or you tuned in live stream, or you gave towards paving the way, so you know what, good job. No, you and I serve Him because you and I have faith and we've been saved and we desire to serve our Savior. It's not for a checklist. It's not just to mark it off. It's not because pastor's up there, well, you better serve. What are you doing? But you better do this. You better be in the choir. You better be in the orchestra. You better get on the piano. You better be faithful. This is 5 weeks in a row. You've been on live stream. Where you at? No. It's not for the pastor's sake. It's not for a deacon's sake. It's not for religion's sake. You and I ought to desire to serve Him because we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me encourage you. Everybody ought to want to serve Him. Everybody. We ought to want to witness. Every college student that's leaving, I don't care if you're here to local community college or you're 1,000 miles away, you ought to want to serve our Savior. You ought to take tracts. You ought to be a witness. You're not going on vacation. We have to, excuse me, friend, we take a vacation from work. We ought not to take a vacation from serving our Savior. If that makes sense, I say amen. Everybody ought to be. Now, here we go. I've been pastoring long enough, Pastor Foe. I think I can say this. Some people say, wow, you're so young. I'll get over it. I am not. I feel like sometimes, right now, I feel like an old man because of these stinking lungs. But nonetheless, I'll get back. Now, hopefully you didn't take offense to that. May I strike that, reverse it. Let's just take that out of the screen right there. Now watch. I do feel a little bit, you know, old right now and just because of lung's sake and whatnot. But I have been in the ministry long enough to know that there are those that feel like they are too young, or there are those that feel like they are too old to serve Jesus Christ in the local church. So let me help you out. You ready for this? No, you're not. No, you're not. I don't know how many times I've said it, I haven't taken count, but I think one of the hardest things that an older generation, harshest things an older generation could say to a younger generation is, well, I guess I'm just being put out to pasture. Man, that hurts a younger generation. Makes them, to be honest with you, it makes them feel really bad. I've heard it before. Well, I know Adam Montaigne. Here comes these young kids coming up there. He's Pastor Blake's, you know. He's Ben Man cronies, and it's the next generation. So I guess I'm just put out to pasture. What are you talking about? No, we need you in this fight. The Bible says your glory, what's awesome about you is your gray hair. Why is that? The wisdom is there. There's a younger generation that's looking up and needing you. We are, now I'm saying we, but let me just put myself in there. We need the wisdom of an older generation. We need the faith that you have had. Now look, I'm not talking about, well, you know, I like mauve color. Let's just talk about paint for a minute. We're about to paint some things, so do I have time? Yeah, 754. This is awesome. Let's go ahead and get out there. We're not all going to agree on paint color. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there right now. You say, oh, Pastor, is this a commercial? You better believe it. This is a commercial. I say, we're no, look, it's older generation, it's younger generation. Yeah, right now, the color that's in, Coach, is gray. I mean, just every house in our neighborhood's gray, light gray, dark gray, light gray, dark gray. I mean, Glory, you sell how many houses? I mean, it's the color of today. So maybe the color of your day, early 90s, early 80s, was whatever it was. Shag carpet and yellow paint on the walls. And nonetheless, some of you are shaking your head. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, it was like, you know, I mean, the groovy crowd in here. We're not going to agree on that. But let me just tell you. We ought to agree that Jesus Christ is coming back. We need you. We need every sword drawn that we can. I said it Sunday night. I'm just going to say it again. As families, we're not here to hold the fort. I know we sing that song, but we're not here to hold the fort. We are here to charge the gates of hell, friend. And it's a battle. We're not playing around. This isn't a Nerf war. We don't have paintball guns. There's a winner and there's a loser. And we need every generation in here to get in the fight. College students, you're not too young. Well, I guess when I get out of Bible college, then I'll step in. Sorry, friend, we don't have time. We need you right now. We need you to step up to the plate like yesterday. Well, I can't do what Brother Hildebrand does because I haven't, you know, I don't know what to do. And I don't, well, that's great because we have an older generation that is more than willing to reach down and to share with the younger generation that there's going to be tough times and there's going to be persecution and there's going to be hard times. And maybe the paint colors have changed and maybe the status quo has changed. Maybe the culture's changed, but the battle is still the same. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers and the rulers, the darkness of this world, and that you and I have to comprehend that what's taking place on a global scale, the players have already been set, they're on the scene, we're in a battle, and you and I have to have faith and jump in for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jump in, everybody. Well, I don't know where to serve, and I don't know, you know, I can't teach a Sunday school class, and I got to sit down, I'm so sorry, and I don't know, I can't lead music, and I can't, you know what, there's a lot of things that I cannot do, but I'm just going to use the gifts that God has given Pastor Shepherd, and I'm just going to use it to the best of my ability, and when it's all said and done, whether somebody likes it or not, it wasn't done for somebody else anyways, it was done for Jesus Christ. Find somewhere to get in. We got a long list, just to be honest with you. I mean, we got a long list, and I'm not saying tonight that I brought it this evening. We need nursery workers, and we need those. No, I'm just saying this. You want to serve? See Pastor Dan tonight. Where do we get involved? What do we do? A person who wants to serve Christ is led and pushed by faith. It's faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not me. No, watch. It's not me saying, okay, well, Pastor Chris, put me on the schedule. I want to sing. Pastor Chris says, okay, well, let me pray about it. And let's say, no, Pastor Chris, I want to sing Sunday morning. And I want to sing, might as well just give me both specials. I mean, that's how good I am. Just go ahead and put me on the schedule for both of them because people are going to really want to hear me belt it out. No, our faith is not that saying, well, I want this. If it doesn't work out, well, then fine, I knew it. I just knew it. Can't serve in that church. Guess I'll go find a church down the street. Friend, if that's your attitude, there's a lot of churches around here that are going to welcome you in. But we're not here to serve for us and the applaud. Woo! Woo-hoo! Look at you. Best nursery worker. Best nursery worker. You know why we serve? Because we have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in the end, it's all about Him anyways. Wow. I mean, I actually have a long way to go, but we ran out of time tonight in both lungs and time. So this evening, this week, here's what we're going to work on. Let's be that church, that strong church, not even finished, but that strong church that has those gifts to serve. And we're going to hit love next. It's action-packed. It's incredible. Let's all jump in. Everyone in here, look at me. I know you're shutting your Bibles because I said, but just watch. Listen, listen, listen. Jump in and serve. Got to be a member. Well, yeah, that's holding me back. How long are you going to wait to join the local church? I really do believe. Pastor, I really do. Pastor Fitzgerald, I believe there's going to be people in heaven that waited since 1985. And every year, I'm going to join the church. I'm going to join the church. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do it. This is my year. This is how I'm going to do it. And they're going to get to heaven one day and be like, oh, God, I was going to, you know, 2016 was my year. I was going to join, but I was going to wait till next year. Stop waiting. Join the church. Let's get you involved. Let's work together. And when it's all said and done, it does not matter where you and I are at. Let's give Him the glory. If that made sense tonight, say amen. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer.